Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom greetings. Kingdom greetings and welcome to Tamaya Deliverance Ministries Sunday Fellowship. I am Apostle Siobhan Simmons, and I want to discuss why we hesitate to embrace the new and how to embrace the new. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. New means fresh, original, unfamiliar. The outcome of the new is unknown. In order to get to the new, there must be a change. There must be a change. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what the outcome is going to be, but as believers, we are told, we're commanded, we're commissioned to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith, the substance, the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we are moving as if it has already happened. We're moving like it's already happened. It's already taken place. Then why, when we receive in the natural a new job, a new home, a spouse, or in the spiritual aspect, prophecy, or when God promotes us spiritually, we hesitate? Well, there are three reasons. There are more than three, but I want to give you the three that the Lord said for me to discuss. The first one is that we walk in unbelief. We can find that in Mark 9:24. We can believe on a thing, but we can't believe in a thing. Why not you? If we are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image, and he said in Genesis, as he was creating everything, that he created everything and everything was good, why would we not accept that he only has the good, he only has the best for us? He created us so that we not suffer, but that we will enjoy the good life. He says, I desire for you to prosper as your soul prospers on this side in the earth realm, because we know that he has already set mansions in heaven for us. So while we are living on this side, he wants us to enjoy the good things. Sometimes we are like a quilt. And a quilt is made from numerous swatches of old, discarded materials. A quilt looks new, but it's not new. Why? No one has used it, so we would assume that it's new in that aspect, but it's still old. It is pieces of former sheets, socks, shirts, skirts, scrap material, etc., that is pieced or patched together to make a quilt, to make something that no one else has covered themselves with, but it's still from old material. Matthew 9, starting at the 16th verse. Bear with me as I get there myself. Matthew 9, starting at the 16th verse. I'm going to read 16 and 17, and it reads, "No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from that garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskin breaks. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." God wants to give you the good. He wants to give you something new, but in order for that to happen, we can't piece things together. The second thing is you want to be wise in your own eyesight. Proverbs 3 and 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Because when we fear God, we're going to do what God tells us to do. We're not going to hesitate. We're not going to drag things out. If God says, "I want you to go here, I want you to do that," you will do it. Why? Because he knows everything. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. The other thing is we want to do our own thing. We find that in Matthew 7, 21 and 23. And it reads, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me. You practice lawlessness.'" And Psalms 127 and 1 says, "Unless the builder builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." In other words, you can't do it your way and expect God to bless you. You can't expect the new, and you want to do it your own way. So how do we embrace the new? It's real simple. You have to renew your mind with the Word. You have to let the Word, hallelujah, have a free course in your mind. We find this in Romans 12 and 2, and then Philippians 2 and 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus." Secondly, you have to acknowledge it is not you, but it is him that is working through you. Zechariah 4 and 6 says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." We also have to take the limits of a God. Have to take the limit of God. We have to know that he makes the impossible possible. And if God says, "I'm going to do this," guess what? He is going to do it. If he says, "I have this for you," guess what? Believe it. He's given it to you. We can't just be doers of the word and hearers of the word, but we can't just be hearers of the word, but we got to be doers of this word as well. We know that the word goes out, and it has to come back to God fulfilled. So if God says, "Behold, I'm going to do a new thing in you," guess what? He's going to do a new thing in you. All that old thing has to pass away. We've got to forget the former things. Why? Because that's what he wants us to do. Forget those things. That's of old. That's our hang-up. We hold on to those old things. We hold on to those things that God is trying to strip us away. We cannot expect to embrace the new things that he's doing in our life because he is pouring out fresh anointing upon his people. He's releasing a fresh spirit. A fresh wind is blowing, and he cannot do it with old stuff. He can't do it with the same old, the same mentality. We can't climb up higher. We continue to just wallow in the old stuff. I pray that you will embrace what God is doing in your life, knowing that he's able to do exceeding and abundantly, more than you can ask, more than you can imagine, according to the power that works within you. He is an awesome God. He is a mighty God. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. There is no other like him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, God. Blessed be your name. Kingdom greetings. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I am excited about what he is doing right now in the lives of his people. Glory be to God. I greet you in the name of the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He is just so amazing. And on this Resurrection Sunday, we know that he is no longer on the cross, but he is seated. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, O God. Kingdom greetings and welcome to Tamaya Deliverance Ministries Sunday Fellowship. I am Apostle Siobhan Simmons, and I am just so excited, hallelujah, with what the Father is doing in the lives of his people. I want to discuss why we hesitate to embrace the new and how to embrace the new. Amen. We know that new means fresh, original, unfamiliar. The outcome of the new is unknown. In order to get to the new, there must be a change. Change is a word that scares many. It's one of those scary words because you do not know what to expect. But as believers, we are told, we are commissioned, we are commanded to walk by faith. We find that in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things, and the substance is that assurance. So now faith is, it means right now, now faith is the substance, the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we are moving as if it has already taken place. We're not wavering. We're not shimmering. We just know if God said it, he's going to bring it to pass. Then why, when we receive in the natural that we're going to get a new promotion on the job, a new job, new spouse, a new house, or spiritually there's a prophecy that comes forth, or God promotes us in the spirit, that we hesitate? Why? Why can't we just embrace the newness with joy? Well, one is that we walk in unbelief. We find that in Mark 9:24, Mark the 9th chapter and the 24th verse. We have this tendency to believe on a thing, but we cannot seem to believe in a thing. In other words, we can believe on God. Hallelujah. We pray and say, God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to do that. But when he does it, we find it so hard to believe. So why not you? Why does good thing happen to everybody else, but good things cannot happen to you? Well, if we are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image, and he said in Genesis, everything he created was good. He didn't say certain things were good. He said, everything I created is good. Then why, oh, why cannot we can't believe that God would bless us with the good things on this side, that he would bless us with the good things in this earth realm. We know he said that he has prepared a mansion for us when we transition to heaven. But his desire while we're on this side is for us not to live that he's not the God that holds everything. Because the Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. If the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, then that means we're entitled to those good things. Those things are entitled, we're entitled to that. Why? Because we have been engrafted into the royal priesthood. But we are like a quilt. And a quilt is made from numerous swatches of old, discarded materials. A quilt looks new, and we think it's new because from what we can see, no one has covered themselves with it. So in that aspect, it is new. However, it is not new. It's pieces of former sheets, socks, shirts, scrap materials, skirts, anything that was discarded that is pieced together or patched together to make it look new. So it's not new, and it is old. So we can't seem to let go of those old things. If we turn to Matthew 9, verse 16, Matthew chapter 9, verse 16, and I'm going to read 16 and 17. 16 says, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So we can't patch things together. Secondly, you can't be wise in your own eyesight. Proverbs 3 and 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We cannot embrace the new sometimes because we are left with trying to figure it out and do it for our own self. You know, we've got the perfect answer. So if we look at Matthew 7, verses 21, chapter 7, verses 21 and 23, we find that sometimes we want to do it our own way. It says, and I'm going to start really with, start with verse 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me, and in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You have practiced lawlessness. In other words, you wanted to do it your own way. You wanted to have it your own way. And with God, that's not going to happen. We find in Psalms 127, verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. All those things you've done, trying not to embrace the new like you should, you've lost out on what God has for you. So how do we embrace the new? Well, the first thing we need to do is renew our mind. We've got to renew our mind with the word. Not any word, but the word of God. We find that in Romans 12 and 2, and also Philippians 2 and 5, that says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. And then when you can do that, you will be able to submit yourself totally to God, according to James 4 and 7, so that when the enemy comes to put those doubts in your mind, you know, you can always replace it with the word. You can say that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that this mind is the mind of Christ, that I only hear God's voice and none other. And then the other thing is you've got to acknowledge that it is not you that's doing it, but it's he that is working through you. Because remember, the greater one lives on the inside, and he is working through you. So Zechariah 4 and 6 says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith Jehovah of hosts. Then you've got to learn to take the limits off of God. He is limitless. Hallelujah, God. There is no limit except for what we put on him, because the Bible says, and I keep going back to that scripture that says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And then if we look at Isaiah 43:18-19, it says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I, not you, but he comes to do a new thing, nor now it shall spring forth. Now, not later. When he comes to do a new thing in you, and that means now. You don't have time to go and confer with someone else, because if God spoke it, it's going to come to pass. So 19 says, behold, I will do a new thing now, present. It shall spring forth, not go back, not turn around, but it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Come on now, he's going to do, the creator of the universe, the one that created everything, the one that spoke and there it was. He is coming to do a new thing in your life. We've got to embrace it, come what may. We know that he will never do anything to bring sorrow unto us. He'll never do anything to make us look bad, because if we look bad, he looks bad as well. Why? Because we are in his image. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. He wants to pour his spirit upon us. He wants us to do, as it spoke, that, you know, we did everything. We'll do everything that Jesus did. What? We'll cast out devils. We'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. We'll raise the dead, and greater works will we do. He wants to do those greater things in us if we will only embrace the new. And when you don't know anything, be still and know that God is God. He is the I am that I am. His work will go forth. Though it may be delayed, it will never be denied. We praise God because this is Resurrection Sunday, and every day is a day of resurrection. Why? Every day he takes those dead things, hallelujah, God, and he revives them. Those things, oh God, that were killed because of a false hope. False hope is that you had your hope in the wrong people. You didn't have your hope in God. You didn't put your hand in his hand and allow him to pull you. You didn't fall on your knees to seek his face. You didn't lay prostrate before him, waiting patiently on the next instruction. So you did it your way. And so now those things became dry, and when it dried up, they died. But God is wanting to revive some things in your life. That's why he's doing a new thing. He's watering you now. He's making you fresh. He's taking your dehydrated spirit and making it hydrated again. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, Father, we just thank you on today for the word. That, God, we will no longer, oh, God, embrace, hallelujah, God, the old, but we will embrace the new that you're doing in our life. Hallelujah. If you desire prayer, you can call our 24-hour ministry line, area code 843-608-0170. And if you do not get a live person to answer, because even though the phone is 24 hours, we are not on 24 hours, do leave a message, and we will call you back. Hallelujah. Know that God loves you. He died for you. He shed his blood that you will be free of every sickness, every illness, every disease, every infirmity. And he hung on the cross. Hallelujah, that no longer will sin hold you captive. Hallelujah, decide today that whom the Son has set free is free indeed, and you decide that you want to walk in freedom. God bless you until the next time. This is Apostle Siobhan Simmons. Remember, with Jesus, all things are possible. Shalom.